This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
All right, Stugatz. So I know what a lot of you are expecting from me today, and it makes me feel, honestly, like I've either misrepresented myself to you and the audience, which is my failure as a communicator.
Right.
Or that I have no self-awareness whatsoever and that I wish to be right all the time. And the only thing I like more than being right is never being wrong. And so what I want to tell you today is I'm already wrong on Josh Allen. I'm wrong already and will be wrong. That is a quarterback that you can win with. And he played well last night. And I don't do the measurements with wins and losses. He had one bad interception. The other one wasn't his fault at all.
Played a very good team, by the way.
Well, it's not just that he played a very good team on the rare 3 weeks of rest, okay, which is a bit of a competitive advantage. It's not just that. It's not just that he had starters missing. Stugatz, when it comes to the measurements of these quarterbacks, it's so difficult. I'm watching on GetUp right now. They just had... in retrospect, was Tua the right pick over Herbert? Tua hasn't played. We have not seen him play a down.
Right. Was Joe Burrow? I mean.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that as it comes to quarterback evaluation on television, we're stupid, okay? Because the very best are largely guessing as well. We laughed at Tannenbaum when he said Herbert is the guy he would take over Burrow and Tua. Bill Polian, as I've told you, didn't know Lamar Jackson was a quarterback. It's hard, is my point. And I'm already wrong because it's not just that Josh Allen is accurate last night. It's not just that Buffalo's skill guys are really good. It's that the Buffalo offense, even last night, getting throttled and losing for the first time, Stugatz, is super dangerous on third and long. They erase it. They reduce the margin for error. You get a lot of teams in third and long, and you know that that's going off the field. The very best ones, though, the best offenses, you're not so sure.
Yeah.
And he's got so many ways to do it, and I'm stunned by how much more accurate he is.
Yep.
Stunned.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't think that that was something that could be fixed to that degree, and they do a great job of sort of using the short stuff to keep his completion percentage good, go long dangerously because he's got speed all over the place, and he'll throw anywhere because he's got the arm. You can make the argument he's got the best arm in the entire league. It's him or Mahomes.
Yes. I mean, Dan, he's been in the 50s in terms of completion percentage his first 2 years. He's at 70% this season.
Ryan Tannehill was better Josh Allen last night. Ryan Tannehill is better Josh Allen at this minute. But what I saw from Josh Allen last night in terms of accuracy, if he can somehow get the judgment and the recklessness under control, he doesn't have to even eliminate it, Stugatz. It's just get it under control some so he's not, you know, the guy that every once in a while does, you know, loses you a football game because his judgment ends up being bad. One time.
Right.
It was one time last night. That's whatever chance they had to get back in the game after he had played very well, got a ton of drops all over the field.
Yep. I mean, he had 9 interceptions a year ago. He has 3 so far this year. But you're right. Like, if he could just minimize those mistakes, the defense didn't play well last night, but if he can minimize the turnovers and the mistakes, then they're really onto something.
My point is,
I'm glad you finally saw it.
My point is, I'm already wrong. It's not that I didn't see it before in the first 4 games. It's that I come in with my baggage of not believing someone can correct accuracy and bad judgment. You haven't done it in 20 years. Like, I've been waiting for you to want something in the way of accuracy. It's my marriage that has taught me this. Like, I am married to what was at the very beginning, a lack of accuracy and bad judgment. I knew it. I got married with it anyway. 20 years later, I'm still surprised when it's inaccurate and shows bad judgment.
That's on you. That's a you
totally,
problem.
Yeah. Totally. But you see what I'm saying, though. Tannehill was great last night. Tannehill, does he have the best passer rating in the entire league at the moment? Better than even these guys like Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and who are just playing at the total top of the food chain? Because what's happened with Ryan Tannehill since he left Miami has been a growth process that if you get it, Stugatz, from Josh Allen, he will be better than Ryan Tannehill 10 years from now because he's a better athlete by leaps and bounds. You remember Ryan Tannehill couldn't throw the deep ball. You remember Ryan Tannehill, we thought, as given the standards of the day, less accurate than most.
Quarterback rating this year, Wilson's 1, Aaron Rodgers 2, Derek Carr is in there. He's 3, Josh Allen, then Tannehill. So, I mean, Tannehill's having a good year. And if you want to go by QBR, Tannehill's right up there as well. So,
So what I'm telling you on these quarterback evaluations is that Tannehill went to Tennessee as a backup to Marcus Mariota. Tannehill, the entire league told you he wasn't a starter. The entire league said, no, thanks. We don't need Ryan Tannehill. He goes there. Mariota does what Mariota does, which is questionable every game and a lot of six-yard passes.
I mean, basically, Mike Vrabel told you he wasn't a starter. Didn't start him originally.
Well, it was even the team that took him, he was not a starter. And now you look at it and you're like, whoa, I fear that. I fear what's happening there. I fear the accuracy. I fear the arm strength. But what I want to get into more with you and the audience is the idea of general gas baggery in sports media that makes you guys hate us so much, because I know won't admit he's wrong is something you really don't like. And I wouldn't like it either if I were you. But what I'm telling you on Josh Allen is I'm already wrong. It's now just a matter of degrees of how wrong I'm going to be. Like, is it going to be that he's going to make me eat it to the tune of being an MVP candidate?
Right.
Because the talent is it's indisputable, Stugatz. Stugatz, there were 3 times last night where a cornerback was coming in untouched on a blitz straight at him, and he swiveled his hips away from him, not bothered at all, like fly around an elephant's tail stuff, because he's so big and strong and athletic.
Buys himself time in the pocket, which is surprising to a lot of people. But let's be honest here. You don't want to be any more wrong than you are right now, right? Like, this is you have reached as far as you want to be in terms of being wrong, right?
I would have liked to have not come this far, frankly.
But you're here. I don't want it to go any further.
I bring it all up after a loss when you guys expected me to come in here shaking my nipples, and what I'm telling you is I'm wrong. That dude's good, and I'm telling you, I'm not judging it on wins and losses. I wasn't judging it 4 wins in on the fact that he'd won the 4 games, because he has plenty of skill talent. That team is good, Stu. God said Ed Oliver's an afterthought on that team.
I love how nuanced you are and well thought out you are, because I was prepared to come in and say you were right.
It's the degrees of wrong I am. I am largely wrong. I am wrong and large. This wrong is already a large kind of wrong, because he is absolutely... Look, man, my analysis was, after seeing him in a playoff game where he did those dumb things, right? He's running backwards, like in overtime or close to overtime, like 40 yards. He's laddering the ball. He's throwing across his body deep to a fullback who's double covered. Like, it was a person who didn't look like he knew what he was doing.
He does dumb things, I know.
No, but he's not, is what I'm saying.
He's not anymore.
Have they corrected the dumb, and can we get Bills management in here to do it for you? Because I have never seen accuracy and bad judgment corrected in my workplace. I've stared at it for 2 decades. How are the Bills the masters of this? Did they coach the dumb out of Josh Allen in 1 year? Because that's all I've been trying to say is quit being dumb, Josh. And so I assumed he would be dumb again this year, because he's been dumb the last couple of years. Stop being dumb. And what does he do? He stops being dumb and makes me look dumb.
But you're basing your opinion on all people based on your opinion of me. I mean,
that's right. It's my worldview through Stugatz. It's absolutely right. I just realized that in a moment of extreme clarity,
it's unfair.
My resentment and bitterness toward you, it goes in all directions. Listen to me, America. On Josh Allen, I'm already wrong. He lost last night. That's not how I measure quarterbacks. That dude is dangerous. 3rd and long, dangerous, Stugatz. There aren't that many guys in the league. Who are the guys in the league that he converted so many 3rd and longs last night, because he was always in 3rd and long.
Patrick Mahomes makes 3rd and 15 feel like 3rd and short. So does Aaron Rodgers. There are certain guys that just do that.
Well, that's what happened last night. As I was watching, hoping very much not to be wrong, I'm like, bleep, man, this kid's good. Like, he's good. Like, he's good and he's exciting. And every once in a while, he's going to be dumb. Can you win with dumb? I'm wrong, damn it.
You've won with dumb.
I have won with dumb.
Yes.
But we only get to the playoffs and then poop out and you run 30 yards in the big game in the wrong direction.
Don Lebatard.
We will get to what you would do if your wife was attacked by a bison in a moment.
Stugatz.
Holy bleep, we're off to a terrible start.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lot.
I want to bring in our baseball experts, Billy and Chris, because I need their help to understand what is happening this postseason, because the Braves are mashing. The Dodgers have been great. Best team in baseball all year, obviously, in ways that nobody disputes, but it's short series, pandemic. Anyone can win one of those.
Always the best team, never winning anything.
There's that. And yeah. Stugatz will now have Kershaw to make fun of here soon. He had back spasms. He couldn't pitch last night. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I wanted to ask Billy and Chris is, I was really rooting for the Astros to win the whole thing just because it would have been anarchy 2020, like this team that is disliked and, you know, baseball players who are throwing
baseballs because of themselves, by the way, yes. Not because they're some sort of victims, because they cheated and they got caught. Because anyone did anything to them.
This is right? Why I wanted to talk to you about it. It's the specific reason, because I want to know how you feel. Right now, we've got a situation where nobody in sports is having a better pandemic than Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has never run sports like this. They've got two champions in town and Tom Brady.
Title town.
Like hockey, it must make Canada crazy. How crazy do you, Roy, how crazy does it make Canada that Tampa is holding up the Stanley Cup trophy and no one in America cares and it got buried by all the other sports? We didn't even know when Game 5 and Game 6 were.
Yeah, they're not happy. They're not happy at all. Not at all.
So now you've got baseball and the Astros. They're on the verge of elimination. And Dusty Baker gave all the cliches yesterday. Backs to the wall, steep mountain to climb,
yeah.
Tighten our belt. And then he said we got to wear our big boy pants, which coming from a 71-year-old is just weird. We can agree on that, right?
Yes, it's weird, Dan. He's trying to stay young and current, you know? I mean,
he's always
relatable
been, he's
to the
always
kids.
Been hip, though. Dusty Baker's old as hell, but he's always been the guy on road trips in the jazz club.
Dusty Baker, back in the day, was maybe, he was one of the coolest Major League Baseball players going.
For sure, but he's
70. Him and UL Washington.
But he's 71 years old, and I want them to win. I want them to come back from down 3-0. Even though Kirchin comes on here every week and tells us Tampa Bay plays baseball better than anyone has ever played baseball, and they're smarter about baseball than anyone's ever been about baseball.
And maybe they'll have a World Series to finally back that up, right?
And only then will they get the validation yes. from Stugatz if they win the title on something that we're saying is almost totally random.
The toothpick is what makes Dusty Baker cool. And I don't know if that's what you're saying, Dan. I'm rooting for the Astros. I don't know what I'm doing here. Billy's so right. They cheated and they're kind of the victim now, but they've become somewhat of an underdog. And I find myself rooting for the Astros. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Why?
I don't know.
Carlos Correa, who's a crybaby, but everybody's so mean. Yeah, you cheated. You defrauded the league. You should have all been suspended. You got absolutely no punishment. You got no one throwing at you. You got no one booing you. You got not even a slap on the wrist. You got basically like, I don't even know what to describe what they got. They got their manager fired for no reason.
Let me answer
that. Only one trying to stop them.
Let me answer that question for Chris, if you don't mind. And Chris, hopefully you don't mind, but I feel like I can answer this for all of us, for the entire country. Bill, no one wants to see the Braves and the Rays, okay? No one wants to see
Astros
that.
Astros are
okay?
No better.
Yes, they are. There's a storyline there with the cheating Astros getting back to the World Series. Yes.
I've heard of people on the Astros. I mean, I've been watching this
That's
Rays
on you,
team.
Though.
I've been watching this Rays team play for like 3 weeks straight now, and I still can only name like two players.
Put that on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Have you been watching the Rays for 3 weeks straight and can only name two players? Because I take the under there. Like, I've been loving how well Tampa Bay plays baseball, but all the dudes are the same to me.
Is Rocco Baldelli still hanging around there?
He's managing the Twins now, right?
Is Carlos Pena still on the team?
Okay, hold on a second. Are we going to do this? Are we going to do sort of...
Longo?
Rays that you know? Grandpa's A's? Grandpa's Rays? Is that what we're going to do? Who else was on those teams? I think that's always been the case for the Rays. They'd have manager Joe Maddon. They'd have Longoria. They had, who was the left fielder that, God, we're old. Who's the black guy that went to Boston?
Carl Crawford.
Wade Boggs. Carl Crawford. Like those. David Price was on those teams.
They had an Upton, didn't they? They did have an Upton. They did have an Upton. Yes.
They have to still have Matt Garza.
Yes, Matt Garza.
No way. Ben Zobrist, was he there?
Matt Joyce? No, that's too recent, Matt Joyce.
Matt Garza. He's a Marlin.
Garza's like three.
I know. I saw that this year. I saw that you went into the playoffs with the left-handed bat of Matt Joyce.
Garza's in Milwaukee.
No, he's not still in Milwaukee.
He's still around.
No.
He can't still be playing. There's no way you made that up.
No, he's making that up. He's reading the internet wrong.
He retired, but his last four seasons were in Milwaukee.
Okay.
After a cup of coffee in Texas.
How long ago did he retire?
How long ago?
2017.
Oh, my God.
Where's Scott Kazmir? Is Scott Kazmir still there?
Oh, great pull.
Wow. Ben Zobrist. You guys already hit me with a Ben Zobrist.
Was Ben Grieve a plug-and-play guy for that team, too?
Ben Grieve.
Who was there? There's a left fielder there.
Johnny Gomes. Was he there at one point? I think he was there.
Johnny Gomes, yeah.
David Price was there for a bit, right?
Ah, Jamie Shields.
Yes!
Big Game James.
This is either the best type of radio or the worst type of radio. There's no middle ground.
I had Chris Archer for a bit.
No, this is how I want our descent to look, okay? Me and Stu Gatz just throwing out the random names of old baseball players that nobody cares about just so that Billy can laugh at Stu Gatz saying the word Baldelli.
They had Fred McGriff, the crime dog.
No.
This is a different era.
No.
You can't pull the Vinny Castillo expansion Rays out.
I can't pull out Wade Boggs?
No, we're talking about a specific era. Like the team that made the World Series and lost to the Phillies. That era.
Wait a minute, though. Wait a minute. Is that... I'm... Good Lord, Stu Gatz is old. Did you just pull out of your fort the Wade Boggs Rays years?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It was a Canseco year, too.
Yeah. Mike DeFelice.
All right, hold on a minute. Is Tampa really going to rule sports here? Like, that can't be. That's the most 2020 thing ever. That Tom Brady's going to be the third of the champions in your town.
They have to still have Deonner Navarro as catcher, right? I mean, he has to be there.
How old were you when you were watching these teams? This is Chris and Billy going back and summoning the memories of eight-year-olds.
I'm going to be honest with you. All the names I've been dropping, I typed in the 2008 roster. That's the one I've been looking at.
He saw Choi on that roster?
Ooh.
No, he was never a Ray.
I believe he was.
No, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Was he Sop Choi a Ray?
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
He was not a Ray, Mike, was he?
I'm pretty sure he was a Ray.
I think he was a Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A cup of coffee is a Ray.
He's off Choi?
I'm checking.
No, he was a Cub, a Marlin, a Dodger, and then he was a Kia Tiger.
That's I always get those two confused.
Yeah, the Kia Tigers and the Rays.
He's on when you type in 2008 Rays roster, he's on that list of names, though. Like, that is weird. So I don't know what happened there. Maybe he was there and never actually played. I don't know.
Minor league deal.
Are you guys cheating? Are you guys giving Stu Gatz Hesop Choi information via the internet? I'm sitting here doing memories off the top of my head that isn't good radio. Mike is totally right about this. Me longing for the days of was Hesop Choi a Ray is absolutely not good radio.
Oh, yeah. Stu Gatz definitely remembers that on December 1st, 2006, Hesop Choi signed a minor league contract with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays where he was given a shot to be Tampa Bay's everyday first base and Choi decided to return home after failing to make Tampa Bay's 40-man roster.
Stugatz pretending to remember that time. Oh, yes. I was following sports so closely back then that I was following the meanderings of Hesop Choi through the Rays minor league system. He's so full of it.
Don Libertard. By the way, Los Ranchos is not Mexican. It's a Nicaraguan restaurant. Get it right, Lord Lungs.
Stu Gatz.
Get the hell out of Dodge.
This is the Don Libertard Show with Stu Gatz on ESPN Radio.
So, at Libertard Show is where you reach us via polls. I've got to separate Billy and Chris because they're talking baseball. It has been fascinating to see them grow up. through a generation of Marlins betrayals and like having their hearts broken by a team, you know, winning it all and then breaking up, to see them become the fans that they've become of baseball has been fun to watch, because young people aren't doing baseball this way. And it's because of the highs and the lows of the Marlins, what they did, that sort of was sticky to them as that game slows down and isn't popular among young people. It's the problem baseball has. It's the demo that they've got to get. They're great with new age media. They've been out ahead in sports with new age media, but they need badly and desperately to get younger. And these Braves are not your Brian McCann Braves. It's Raul Acuna, and he likes to bat flip. They're the
Ronald
Acuna. Excuse me. Thank you for the correction there, Billy. But we'll get to them in a second. First, though, we've got a wounded Bills fan, Christine Lisi, and her beloved kazoos.
And finally, you can drive south from Detroit and end up in Canada. Who knew?
You can?
Yeah.
You can do that? I thought, how can you do that? By ferry?
By driving south, Dan.
Just like that.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's what she said. Yeah.
Unless you want us to drive a ferry.
I don't think.
Is there a ferry from Detroit to Canada?
But how do you do that geographically? How do you drive.
You get in the car.
Drive south.
Yeah. Okay, so you're telling me there's Canada, a path to do that.
Due south from Detroit.
Uh-huh. I think what she's saying, there are parts of Canada you can get to quicker than you could Detroit.
I think what she's saying is that if you're in Detroit, you drive south, you'll hit Canada.
Stugatz, how are you understanding that?
I mean, how are you misunderstanding all of it?
All right. We'll get back in a second to Billy and Chris. I don't know what Stugatz just did in the middle of that segment.
I'm pulling
there
up a map.
I don't think that you can do that. Christine says it, so it's so. Like, I don't.
Yeah, that's how we operate. Yes.
Okay. Christine, are you heartbroken? Because you've got a good quarterback. You've got a strong young team. You curse at your Bills television. That game, I mean, four times the Titans were starting in, you know, inside of the Bills 30-yard line on a, you know, weird Tuesday night with a pandemic fresh team. Like, are you dispirited by last night? Or are you like, no, I'm encouraged. Bills football has been bad for a while, and I could see it being good with this quarterback for a while if he's what I think he is.
4-1, I'm okay.
Yeah, you should be.
And I did not yell. I don't know which one of you guys. Is it Mike? I might kill you, or I could kill you.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I was yelling at Duncan Robinson.
I might kill you myself. Yeah. I did yell, so help me God, a couple times. But I did not yell, I might kill you myself.
At who were you yelling?
Just
so
general.
Help me God.
Right. I feel like that's as bad as it gets for you, right? Like
that's rage.
That's you lashing
out. That is an outburst. Yes, this is like you just rabid, teeth bared. Yes?
I used a lot of bad words in a very short amount of time.
All directed at Malcolm Butler.
No.
Were any directed at Dan versus Josh Allen take? Any of it?
No, because Dan, you made me laugh in your first segment today. That was hilarious. You did make me laugh and you brightened my mood, so it'll be a good day.
Christine, he's a good quarterback.
Yes, like, he is.
He's gonna get better, but he needs to stop making mistakes. And I just didn't think he could go from, I mean, you saw him last year. You had to have your doubts, I would imagine.
The playoff game in Houston, I was a lot of, oh.
Yeah, but
a lot of that, because I saw them as like, with the field position they had in that Texans game, if that was Jim Kelly, those would have been like three touchdowns, you know, and instead of the three field goals. So stuff like that. But I feel really good watching this year and see where they're going. And I have whatever they've done with Josh is great. Having Diggs in there is also amazing. So I mean, I feel okay.
You should have just been happy you were in the playoffs last year, right? I mean, you're still living in those Jim Kelly years.
Christine, hold on a second, though, because we just came out and said it. They badgered it out of me in the first segment. Mm-hmm. It was not politically correct what I did there, but I proclaimed that the Bills might have coached the dumb out of Josh Allen. Just coached the dumb right out of him. He did things in that Texans game that did not look like a professional quarterback who knew what he was doing in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That had to be maximum Christine Lisi yelling at the television, no?
It was, but I think too, like he kind of freestyles so much that I think sometimes they just were kind of willing to see where that went. And then sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like they were kind of, you know, letting him do his Josh thing. and it.
The Bills have made you crazy, Christy.
But what were you yelling? Were you yelling Jim Kelly would have, you know, turned that into
Andre Reed,
Thurman
Thomas?
Last year,
during that playoff game, I thought to myself, Jim Kelly and those guys would have had three touchdowns instead of three field goals. And then, you know, on 3rd and 100, Deshaun made that completion and that just turned the whole game around. Yeah. So
yes,
okay. That was bad.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Not that I hold on to stuff, but,
no,
you know.
No, Christine, you sound terribly embittered.
Listen, it could be worse. You could be a Jets fan.
Man, look, I know,
look, she is wearing that Bills barbed wire, man. That has been a tough team to love. That's 17 years without the playoffs. And then they ran off the quarterback who got them to the playoffs. And he went to another team and they punctured his lung with a needle trying to get him on the field because of his ribs.
It was Titans Bills, so I imagine they were airing Music City Miracle highlights there just to drive you crazy. Right, Christine?
I blocked that out because that was a forward pass.
Still, wow. Oh, you're hanging
nice
on.
Nice take, yes. Jeez,
also, what probably helps is being able to have a double secret probation practice at a pandemic, during a pandemic, when you have an outbreak on your team. Maybe that's the secret.
Wow. Wait a minute, that's trash talk.
Reese.
I think that was like...
I got a little edge.
I think that was also patient zero, so I can't really say
that's
it worked out in
your favor.
Bulletin
board material right there. Didn't the Titans use the pandemic as... they used it as trash talk for the locker room?
Bulletin board material, Dan. Ryan Tannehill did not like what the media was doing in the days and weeks leading up to this Bills game. We don't like how you're talking about us. He went full Carlos Correa.
All right. So, Christine, I'm sorry for all of your losses.
Her last name is Lisi. I just called her Reese.
Yeah, I don't know why you did that. Christine, thank you.
Think about Reese Davis.
We will get back to Billy and Chris in a second. Yes, I don't know why you called her Christine Reese, other than the fact that you've been slurring for about 3 straight months as if you're drunk.
And Mike had a stroke saying Tannehill.
I'm okay, everybody.
What happened, everybody, just with the general idea of speaking?
Yeah, it's tough. Maybe it's the second coffee.
I want to honestly know, because now I don't have time to get to Billy and Chris because I want to talk baseball with them. And we just spent a segment on Bills football.
Our second of 3.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
The other one was on the Rays.
I'm 2008.
Let's keep doing it. I want to keep doing it. And my father said ads there. Please, I want to go back to talking about early 2000 Rays. They wanted sports around here, right? More sports? You know,
today's
times.
Bills and yesterday's Rays.
Yes, I mean, because
topical.
Well, look, I mean, they're, you know, the streets are on fire and everybody's yelling about politics and everyone's throwing feces at each other. And here we are sticking to sports right here. Bills and Rays.
Making contributions of Mike DeFelice and darting to the darkness.
Did you see who the White Sox might hire as their manager?
The cheater! The cheater! We're going to get to that in a second. Yeah, my buddy, poor Rick Renteria, this koala bear of niceness, they just fired him to get the cheater!
They made the playoffs.
They were good this year for the first time in 8 years.
They had it like a decade.
Oh, I got to talk about that. All right, we're going to talk about the secret weapon, Rick Renteria. You want to go deep on 90s baseball? We're old enough to remember when that guy, who's as old as Tom Cruise, the secret weapon, Rick Renteria, was a secret weapon because they'd bring him in on the bench and he'd roly-poly out there and he had like 6 hits in a 94 loss season.
He's the same age as Tom Cruise.
I'm trying to imagine
Rick Renteria jumping out of an airplane.
Go ahead and Google search Rick Renteria, people. Same age as Tom Cruise.
That's impossible.
In Mission Impossible. It is. It's Mission Impossible.
Don Lebatard.
Who fired Torts?
Stugatz. 3 years of your life will be spent on the toilet.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Lebatard Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. How about that? Wayne Stanfield at Raw Talent 1976 says, quote, "You guys don't let Christine fool you. She's from Western New York. She knows more curse words than anything else." All right.
Wow, really?
She ain't fooling us.
Barbed, wired Christine Reese. I don't know why you did that
to her. I don't know either.
Earlier.
Sorry.
Billy, Chris, I want to talk to you about this because Rick Renteria is one of the few athletes that when I was young, my family dined with his family. He was the secret weapon as an athlete for the Marlins. Why are you laughing at that, Mike Ryan?
You have these random family ties to some of baseball's greatest names.
You broke bread with the Renterias? I mean,
no, it was just him. He was a ball player away from his family. Like my, I would consider.
You took him in?
I would consider. I adopted Rick Renteria for a while.
Living in like an efficiency somewhere. In your
no, Rick,
home?
Look, this is the story of Rick Renteria. Rick Renteria, do you not know the backstory? Yeah, Billy, do you know the backstory of Rick Renteria?
I mean, it sounds like he was a member of Operation Pedro Pan and your family took him in.
Sounds like the Blindside.
All right, so Rick Renteria was the surprise of spring training for the 1993 Marlins as we descend yet more into the historic baseball muck. All right,
Chris, with an under the radar, it's like the Blindside.
So listen to this story.
It's just like the Blindside.
God, thank you for bringing that back up. I missed it.
Am I Michael Orr in this person? Like, am I?
I think Renteria is Michael Orr.
No, he's the.
Your mom is Sandra Bullock.
So this is the backstory. Rick Renteria, a huge surprise, a little roly-poly guy, just with a funny mustache. Unbelievable that he could be a square person and make the Marlins roster out of nowhere. The surprise of spring training, 1993, he made the roster as the 25th man. And that season, the beloved little Hispanic guy had hit after hit during what I believe to be a 94 loss season. And in that season that captured the hearts of South Florida, the Marlins weren't very good, and he was their secret weapon. That was his nickname. There were posters, I think, of the secret weapon. Billy, did you have any of those posters, or does this even predate you?
Oh, no. I remember his great mustache that he had. I think I saw him at a Champ Sports autograph signing.
But hit after hit, he had 100 career hits.
I know, but that season he had like 21 big hits or something like that. Something. Remember the mythical season of 1993, Billy? Rick Renteria was a hero to you. How old were you then?
I was 5 turning 6. I think I remember from that autograph signing at Champ Sports at International Mall. I remember Rich Renteria. I remember Richie Lewis was there also. I remember Jeff Conine was there, and there was someone else. I can't remember who it was. I don't know if it was like Daryl Whitmore or something. There was someone there that thought that they were like a big star, and they had like the 90s Oakley shades on and were like very difficult for, you know, a 1993 Marlins team. I don't remember who it was.
It wasn't Orestes Estrada, was it?
No. It wasn't him. Remember him? He had the same glasses as my grandfather.
Renteria had 67 hits that glorious year, by the way.
See, the secret weapon.
67 of his 100.
All right. I think this is the show I wish to do today. Is everyone riding with me on this? For the next hour of radio, as we stick to sports, I want to tell the whole family story of how my lifelong friend, Rick Renteria, has just been wronged by the Chicago White Sox. But I am not biased about this at all. He was a Hispanic hero, and he made them matter after 8 years of failure. And over the next hour, we talk about what a dum-dum he was, always was, about analytics.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.